You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back with the Sports Rabbi Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, where we bring you the best Israeli sports all the way up to Nahariya, down south, Eilat, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and though that you do, make sure you leave us a 5-star rating, write us a nice review, check us out on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Make sure you leave us a 5-star rating, write us a nice review, check us out at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We are the only website in Israel that delivers you in both languages. All the sports news you want, you got it in English and in Hebrew. We have great pieces, great articles, and a lot of stuff going on. There was plenty of Israeli sports this week. And of course, Maccabi Tel Aviv in EuroLeague, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Maccabi Haifa in Israeli soccer, making history, and we'll get to that as well. All kinds of basketball, all kinds of soccer. And we're going to bring on, of course, Moshe Halichman, the head of the Hebrew Sports Rabbi website. We'll talk all about it. How you doing today, Moshe? What's going on, baby?
Doing well. Happy to speak about basketball.
All right, basketball and soccer.
We'll speak about it.
We're going to talk. Let's just start off with the soccer, I think. That's the most important thing right now. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Maccabi Haifa make European history. Both advanced to the Conference League knockout stage. Maccabi Tel Aviv defeat Ghent 3-1. Eran Zahavi, of course, with a brace, helps Maccabi Tel Aviv in an empty stadium in Serbia take first place in the group. They go directly to the round of 16. They do not have to go through the knockout stage preliminary round in February, which is great news for them. They take the top spot. Ghent moves down to second. It's just an incredible game from Maccabi Tel Aviv. Gabi Kanakowski with a goal as well. Eran Zahavi, he leads. He's tied for the lead in Conference League goals at 5. Robbie Keane, very thrilled. You can read all of the quotes from Robbie Keane, Eran Zahavi on sportsrabbi.com, the English website. It's all there. But listen, Moshe, let's start with Maccabi Tel Aviv. To go ahead and really, they dominated Ghent. They took first place in the group. When is the last time we were able to say anything like that in a European competition?
I think Maccabi Tel Aviv were good in the Conference League last season, if I remember right. But Robbie Keane is definitely doing an excellent job there. To have a coach in that caliber, not that he did much as a coach yet, but as a player, when the players have a ton of respect for a legend like him. And in a season where it's clear that they should be the best team in Israel, they're really doing so, and they're showing it also on the European stage. Eran Zahavi just continues to be Eran Zahavi for around 15 years straight. This is Eran Zahavi we know, and Maccabi Tel Aviv definitely could go far in Europe this season.
It's really unbelievable. You've got to give full marks. And, of course, Robbie Keane, Maccabi Tel Aviv, all back in Israel. All the foreigners are there. It's kind of interesting, right? You look at the basketball scene where there was so much controversy. Who's coming back? Not coming back. Paul Jerusalem, Coach Jikic didn't come back for the first game. Some of the players didn't come back. Now they're going to come back, but not all the players. And there was a lot of questions about, you know, where Robbie Keane's loyalty lay. You know, coming from a country like Ireland and being afraid. And at the end of the day, Robbie Keane has been a man to his word. Let's be honest here, Moshe. I mean, he's been there for Maccabi Tel Aviv. I was critical a couple months ago, you know, where things were like, you know, he didn't say anything, this and that. But I think we've seen his wife open up a little bit more on social media. He's opened up a little bit more with the situation. But the fact that he was back here in Israel, really full marks to him.
Yes, I mean, you know, when two people fight and you're the third person and both of them are telling you about that, then that's the situation with Robbie Keane here, that on one hand, he's loyal to Ireland. On the other hand, he's loyal to Maccabi in Israel. And it's very hard to put an opinion to one side or the other, and we need to understand Robbie Keane in the situation he is. He can't, on one hand, go against the people of Ireland who see him as a legend. And on the other end, he can't go against Maccabi and the people of Israel as he works here. And I'm sure he has a ton of respect to Mitch Goldar and to Maccabi. So that's the situation. Robbie Keane won't say something too big about the war to any direction. And it's fine. It's very hard to judge him on that situation. At the end of the day, he came back to Israel. He didn't wait a game to come back. He straight came back when Maccabi came back. And we need to respect him for that. And I don't think there's any doubt that he's not anti-Israel or anything like that. Because otherwise, he wouldn't coach Maccabi.
Right, for sure.
As that.
Yeah, for sure. There's no question. Listen, we move over to Maccabi Haifa. 2-1 winners in Panathinaikos, in Greece, in front of a crowd. It's a massive win. I mean, Tyrone Cherry with a goal, Dean David with a goal. They were the better team. They take this victory, which is massive. Let's think about this for a minute. It's Maccabi Haifa's first ever victory on the road, away from home, in a European group stage. That's tremendous. To go into a place like that, knowing that they're in the Europa League, so if they finish in third, they're going to get a spot in the knockout rounds of the Conference League, and they go into Greece, and they do just that. They defeat Panathinaikos, and it's 2-1, but it really wasn't 2-1. They scored a late goal. It was 2-0. I mean, let's be honest here. Maccabi Haifa, Masai Diego, I mean, I know there's been a lot of criticism levied at the team. They're not as good as they were. They lost a star coach in Barak Bachar. They lost Omer Atsili. Dolev Aziza is injured. You have a lot of players that are in, out of the lineup. Don't put too much on the regular season right now. They haven't been good. We understand that. It's a tough situation all around. But my goodness, you really put they took the coins. They took the coins on the table. They said, we're going to go in there. We're going to make history. And that's what they did, Moshe.
Yes, and I mentioned earlier that Maccabi Tel Aviv is the best team in Israel, that's what it looks like this season. And a lot of that is because Maccabi Haifa went through big changes. Barak Bachar leaving, Masai Dego coming in to be the head coach. I mean, it couldn't go a different direction. It couldn't be as good as it was with Barak Bachar. And it's fine they appointed Dego, because to put a big name coach, I don't think would have ended well, as no one could get close to what Bachar did at Maccabi Haifa. And really, Maccabi Haifa for now weren't good enough due to the expectations that are still there when the club is Maccabi Haifa. And it doesn't matter that Barak Bachar left. It doesn't matter that Masai Diggle's the coach. When you're Maccabi Haifa, you need to win titles. You need to be the best team in Israel, definitely in the last years. But now they got a really big win, important win, keeps them alive in Europe. And it's really a huge success for Masai Diego, a win like this, and maybe something that can change their season.
Really, tremendous. Tremendous. You got to give them full credit. Unbelievable stuff. And not only that, there's been some changes in the way that there's going to be qualifying for the Champions League from Europe next year. There's a very good chance that both Maccabi Tel Aviv and Maccabi Haifa will be in Champions League qualifying. That would be tremendous. Good stuff. Well, let's shift gears now to the basketball. And listen, winning's the name of the game here. Look at the wins. Soccer, unbelievable stuff. Basketball, more unbelievable stuff. Maccabi Tel Aviv, 95-86 winners over Anadolu Efes. We got to say, to be honest here, Anadolu Efes came in with a half of a squad. They had many injuries. This is not the same Efes team that was under Ergin Ataman. Erdem Cem is the new head coach. It was the Turk Telecom. Tremendous amount of injuries. I mean, you look at the roster that played for Anadolu Efes. You have no Elijah Bryant there. You have no Ante Zizic there. You have no Will Clyburn there. The list goes on and on. They were very short. They played with 8 players, basically. Like 8 players. Maccabi Tel Aviv plays with pretty much a full squad. I think 11 out of the 12 players. Or probably 10 out of the 10 of the players played, I would say. Menko didn't play, and of course, Omar Meyer didn't play. I don't know why Menko doesn't play. I mean, I don't know. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But Maccabi Tel Aviv did what they had to do. And I got to tell you, even when they were down by 10 Efes in the last quarter, you're sitting there in Spilkas because you know, even though they were dead tired, they still have guys like Shane Larkin, who, you know, went 4 for 10 from 3, 17 points. Still have guys like Darius Thompson, 22 points. You still have guys like Mike Daum, who just, like, decided to show up and, you know, played great basketball, 3 for 5, or 3 with 20 points. But at the end of the day, Maccabi Tel Aviv, who did not have really Wade Baldwin, was a disaster. Let's say it like it is. He played about 20 minutes, did 4 points, 2 for 9 from 2, 0 for 1 from 3. He had 5 assists. In the middle of the third quarter, he came out, never saw the court again. Got a credit to Lorenzo Brown after a first half where he did nothing. Scored 21 points, 5 assists. You have to give credit to Bonzi Colson, who was tremendous all game long with 19 points. Tamir Blatt, unbelievable game with 12 points, 4 for 7 from 3. And that's exactly what you want to see from Tamir Blatt. You have to give credit to Roman Sorokin with 8 points. You got to have massive credit to James Webb. Was unbelievable, 4 for 7 from 3, 14 points. And Maccabi Tel Aviv from 3 was 12 for 25, which is like 48%. Incredible shooting. Cleveland, lockdown defense when they needed him. Jaziel Rivera was fine. Jake Cohen, you know, with his 10, 11 minutes. Josh Nebo in the first half really set the tone early. 8 points, 9 rebounds. I mean, those are good numbers. I mean, Maccabi Tel Aviv, and you know what? They play defense. And that's what they had needed to see. It was clear. Oded Katash wanted them to play defense. They had not played defense all season long. They needed them to lock down. And that's what they did. They finally, and they said it was the defense, it was the little things. And give them credit. They did what they had to do. They're now 8-6. They're trying to separate from that 7-6 group. There's a ton of teams like that. They have 2 more home games, so-called home games, in Belgrade against Baskonia and Red Star next week, which will be no fans. Moshe, Maccabi Tel Aviv did what they had to do. This is the Maccabi Tel Aviv I think we saw all of last year, that we finally saw other guys step up. It was just a complete win. And the one thing that Oded kept saying, and he said again, that he barely had a practice with the whole squad because part of the team was in Israel for a league game.
Yes, Maccabi were really fun to watch this game. And although they gave up 86 points, you're right, they did have good enough defense, especially Cleveland, really gave them the energy in the important minutes in the second half. And Josh Nebo's blocks, and he really made a huge upgrade this season in every aspect almost. And if it's James Webb playing good defense too and having a huge offensive game.
James Webb, yalla, yalla, James Webb, as so the tune goes.
That was his best game of the season, there's no question about that. And Tamir Blatt, just amazing minutes in the fourth quarter, scoring 3 after 3. And Bonzi Colson, consistent all game long. Lorenzo Brown, another excellent game. And when Wade Baldwin isn't at his best, but so many other players show up, then Maccabi are in a good spot. But they do need to be worried about what they see for now from Baldwin. And there needs to be some change there, because he's just not looking right now like the Wade Baldwin we saw at the second half of last season. And we could understand why. He also got injured at the start of his season. There's also the war and all of the stuff that came with that. So if Maccabi get an upgraded Wade Baldwin going forward, then Maccabi could really aim even for the Final Four.
Big, big victory. Next week, Baskonia Red Star. Those should be 2 wins. Let's be honest. Now, are they going to be 2 wins? That's a different story. But we'll get to that. Let's talk about Maccabi's league game this week. Once we're on with the topic of Maccabi Tel Aviv, they defeated Bnei Herzliya 94-74 in a game that was never close. Let's be honest. I mean, Maccabi Tel Aviv was just rolling on all cylinders in this game. Roman Sorokin was terrific with 21 points. Jaziel Rivera, 17 points. I think the big story, though, has to be Omar Meyer. 23 minutes, 9 points. He had 6 turnovers, but 3 assists. Played great basketball. Did not look out of place. Bene Herzliya already making some massive moves. So we understand that, you know, that Ryan Boatwright's going to be out. Robert Carter seems to be out. They bring in a couple of new players, Marcus Carr, Tyler Stone, who played up in Gilboa. But really, Omer Meyer, Moshe, talk a little bit about him.
Yes, so Omer Meyer really showed his talent, and it's amazing to think about it, that it was his first game in the league, because it felt like he already played in the past with how he played in this game, and he showed so much leadership in a team with veteran players, players with a ton of experience, with a ton of achievements in basketball. If it's Israelis like Roman Sorkin and Tamir Blatt, or if it's foreigners like Antonis Cleveland, James Webb, Josh Nebo played a drop, not with him, and the other foreigner Maccabi had, Jaciel Rivero. So it was really impressive to see what Omer Meyer did. He grew up in Maccabi, starred for the under 16 national team over a year ago alongside Ben Saraf. And this summer, when Saraf was injured, then he led the under 18 team to sixth place in the European Championship. A huge achievement for him and Sharon Avrami. And also, in this game, Shachar Doron and Roy Bachar, who played with him on the under 18 national team and in Maccabi's youth, they also played and they also looked good in their minutes. And Doron is having a huge season for now with Elitzur Shomron. Right now, he has a small injury and he's not playing their current game. But it's really fun to see the young stars of Maccabi and Meyer, the youngest Israeli scorer and Maccabi scorer in the EuroLeague ever, has a ton of potential to be a legitimate Maccabi player in the very soon future, because already now he looked great in a league game.
Unbelievable stuff. It was great. I mean, to see Omer Meyer play, see the young players play, was good. Credit to all of them. Hapoel Jerusalem, 71-61 winners over PAOK. That gives them first place in their BCL group. Listen, it was a tough game, but they ended up, you know, coming through. Chris Johnson was tremendous, 16 points. Zach Hankins and Levi Randolph, 13 points apiece. Michael Gilmore, Andrew Harrison, 12 points for PAOK. They still have one game left, but they've already clinched first place, which means they don't have to play in the play-in playoff to the second group stage. Listen, you got to give them credit. I mean, they haven't played. They're like not together here or there. Half the team was in Israel for like a week, all the Israelis. The coach and the rest of the foreigners were still in Serbia. But meanwhile, they go in and they bust up a team like PAOK, who they lost to in the first game against them. And they've already clinched first place. I mean, I don't think you can ask for anything more. But the question I do have here is, and a serious question, is the BCL a good enough competition where you have a team like Jerusalem who's barely played any games, already clinching first place after five game days?
Yes, so the BCL, there's all kinds of criticism about it. And also, one of our writers on the Hebrew website, Nate Dror, wrote about it on Facebook that the BCL showed they could give a fight to the Euro Cup in the first few years, but recently it's just in a total crash, and especially with the group stages of like what Jerusalem have
now.
Yeah,
these group stages. Yeah, but it's also
six games.
You know,
it's just not good enough. I'm gonna just attractive.
Yeah, I mean, they had, remember, the first couple of years they were having 14 games. They played like a real full season, and now they're playing like small group stages, then second group stages. I understand why they're doing it, right? Because they want to keep the interest. Because if a team is not doing well and they're out of it already after 2 months, they still have another, you know, bunch of games to go. But it's a weird situation.
Yes, like the Euro Cup with Hapoel Tel Aviv, which we'll get to later, is just better because teams know what they're playing for. It's a long season, and yes, there's some teams that look out of place there, but all in all, there's a big battle, and every Euro Cup game counts, like in the EuroLeague. And here in the BCL, it just doesn't feel like that. And I think it's more a question that needs to be put for the BCL, but Hapoel Jerusalem are doing a great job in this situation, and if it's Zach Hankins looking somewhat like Zach Hankins of last season, the game against Pauk, and Chris Johnson looking like Chris Johnson of a few years ago, and we had our doubts about Chris Johnson coming back to Jerusalem, but right now he's just having a huge season for them, and Levi Randolph is having an amazing season. The guy shows up every single game, and Oz Blazer fighting on the court and looking right now like the most positive Israeli player Jerusalem has.
Yeah, which is not good, especially for Yovel Zussman Moshe.
Yes, and I have to say that I actually was okay with Zussman's first games in the competition. He didn't bring too much offensively, but defensively he was excellent. But I feel like something's falling now, and it's just not the Yovel Zussman that we want to see. It's not the Yovel Zussman that scored 15 points against CSKA Moscow and beat CSKA Moscow in Russia for Maccabi Tel Aviv. It's far from there. Zussman isn't taking much on upon himself offensively, and when he did do it in the Israeli league, then it ended not good with a horrible squad of Jerusalem.
We saw those two games. He was a disaster in both games. And now, I mean, it was clear that Alexander Djikic was calling him out in the press conference by not naming him with the crybabies. I mean, that was pretty brutal. That says, I found the players who could play, and I'm not going to play the crybabies. And that was clear as to who it was going to.
Yes, and there was a picture of Zussman and Djikic, and we know there was also an article in Hebrew by Efrat Amoraban that one of the close people to an Israeli player didn't know who Djikic meant, which, let's say the truth, I think we all know who Djikic meant there, and the person who said the quote probably also knows. They just don't want to face it. And I mean, it's sad because we know how good Yovel Zussman is. And even this season, he is contributing to the team defensively. But we know Yovel Zussman could be much more than that. And that's why we're just not happy. Like, he's probably not happy with
it. We want to see him play well. We want to see him play well. We want to see him succeed.
Definitely, and you know, I can surprise you, but Djikic maybe also meant, surprisingly, or Cornelius, because he didn't play both of them second half at all.
Maybe he was both of them.
Yeah, now it could be, but because we know the relationship of him with each and one of them, at least how it looks like from far, then most probably he meant at least Zussman, if not both of them.
All right, one good thing from that game also, another good thing, not just one thing, is Ofir Engel was at the game. He was released by Hamas. He was held hostage for almost 2 months. It was kind of, you know, weird. Like, a month ago, we were at the first game between PAOK and Jerusalem at the arena where they had, a special screening and the parents spoke. And here he was at the game in Belgrade. So that was pretty cool to see that happen. So they have a game against Benfica coming up, and it's not worth very much. They have a league game coming up against Apollon Galilion Saturday night. Also will probably be a blowout. Galilion's obviously, they won a game, so they're not a disaster, but we're going to see how they're going to play in that. Apollon Tel Aviv, 89-81 winners over Wolves. Another game here that Apollon Tel Aviv just really, you know, played well. They took a lead at halftime. Then Wolves tied it up, but they, you know, pulled away in the last quarter. Apollon Tel Aviv, once again, you have players like Jalen Horde, who was just tremendous. You got to wonder how long it's going to be until he'll be in a EuroLeague team or back in the NBA with 20 points. Brian Angola, 18. Xavier Munford, 16. Tomer Ginnat, 13. Jacobin Brown, 10. They have a couple of games coming up in the Israeli league. All the foreigners are supposed to be back. Danny Franco, I mean, what could he ask for? Could he ask for anything more than what they're doing?
No, so Apollon Tel Aviv just look excellent, and in a tough competition like the Euro Cup, Jalen Horde, the guy just comes each game, and he's just giving a huge season, and Jacobin Brown, each game, he doesn't need to be the best Jacobin Brown, and he'll still be excellent for Apollon Tel Aviv. And Xavier Munford, on nights that stuff work, then it just looks amazing, and he was a big heat of a win, and Brian Angola looks good in the past few games after he had not as a good streak, and Hapoel Tel Aviv are just looking really good. Also, Tomer Ginat is worth a mention. The guy finished with 13.7 rebounds. I think it's kind of the stigma that there is about him, that he does 13.7 rebounds every game, and the guy just does it. He comes in, day out, and Danny Franco's doing an excellent job.
Yeah, great stuff for them. Let's go through some of the league games. Hapoel Tel Aviv had beaten Hapoel Galilion 90-66. Hirata, they defeat Hapoel Afula 76-73. Also, in Israeli League action, a game the Sports Rabbi was at Holon, 103-80 winners over Hapoel Be'er Sheva. And I'll say this, Hapoel Holon has a huge game coming up against Bursaspor. It's a cup game, as Amit Sheriff said. But boy, did they look good yesterday! I got to tell you, they're running really, really well together. I think one of the keys, and I asked them about this, both he and Hanel Artsy with 25 points, career high. You know how key it's been that they've been able to keep the team all together. We know that Amin Nua was with the team, and you know he didn't want to come back to Israel, and that's fine. We totally get it. It was great that he was here for a little bit. I really wish he would have stayed. Really wanted to see him play for Hapoel Holon. Didn't work out, but they replaced him right away. And these guys are here. And you know what? At the press conference, the press officer and the PA announcer, Gadi Rabinowitz, of course, said that Hans van Wijen, not only is he here, his mother's here. She stayed in Israel when the team went abroad, actually. So, you know, full marks to them, Moshe, that they've been able to keep the team together, and they understand that's an advantage, that they have their team together. And yet we're going to say, you know, they're the fourth best team in Israel right now. They're the fourth best team in Israel, but by far, but meaning that they are much further ahead than any other team. Can they surprise one of the top three teams on any given day? Yes, they have that ability. Give them lots of credit, Moshe.
Yes, Holon are having a very impressive season for now. It's over any expectation we had from them. Obviously, other teams got weaker because of a war, but it doesn't take anything away off of Holon, who's doing a good job both in Europe, both in the Israeli league. And I think Netanel Artsy having so many points, it says everything, because when a player like that has a career high of 25 points, and we know his shots didn't much go in this season before this game, then it shows something good is happening in Holon. And even on nights he doesn't hit his shots, he just gives so much defensive effort, and he plays for the team, and it's fun to see guys like that succeed.
No question. One more game that I just want to bring up here. Galilion 88-71 winners over Hapoel Haifa. Hapoel Haifa are a mess. Guy Gudis has taken over that team. It's interesting, right, to see. I'm surprised. Guy Gudis coming back. I spoke to somebody that's an employee of Hapoel Holon last night, and I asked, were you surprised that Guy Gudis decided? And the person said, yeah, they're very surprised. They actually said that they called him when they were thinking about taking it, and he really wanted to close the circle as to, you know, he had been a player there. And even the fact that it takes him an hour and a half each way to get there every day to do practice at Haifa, and the fact that, you know, he has other business, business interests. And he, you know, obviously, you know, financially doesn't need to be a basketball coach. In his heart, he's a basketball person, and he couldn't bear being away from the game, Moshe. It's really amazing.
Yes, and especially with Hapoel Haifa, the team he grew up in. And, you know, good for him for taking the job, but it doesn't mean we're going to see a good team. Right now, the situation isn't like that. Losing at home, first game against Galilion, that's a pretty bad start, to be honest. But we need to give Gudis the time. He still has Israeli stars injured, Amit Simchon and Itai Moshkovitz. It would take time till they'll come back. But I wasn't shocked with Gudis coming back, because it's Hapoel Haifa. It's good as it's just meant to be. And more than that, I just think that Guy Gudas, he, like you said, he can't without basketball. He still feels like he has a point to prove. And this is a chance to do that.
Give him a lot of credit. Lots of games coming up this week. Paul Jerusalem, Galileo on Saturday night. Paul Tel Aviv, Eilat Sunday. Also on Sunday, Kiryat Atta, Be'er Sheva. Monday, Paul Haifa, Bnei Herzliya. On Wednesday, Nes Ziona, Ramat Gan. Thursday, Be'er Sheva, Eilat. Also Thursday, Kiryat Atta, Galileon, and then Saturday night, Maccabi Tel Aviv back at Yad Eliyahu against the Baal Haifa, which should be fun. I mean, to get to see Guy Gudas play, you know, Guy Gudas go back to my, you know, coach against Maccabi, will, that will be fun. It'll be good stuff. Looking forward to that as well. The league apparently had a director's meeting, and they, in the director's meeting, they said that they don't see them bringing a new team in for next year, right, Moshe?
Yeah. No, they may have a new team coming in or even two, but you can't have more than 14 teams. It means that maybe one team would go up. Right now, the league is 13 teams. So one team would go up and maybe no teams would go down. We'll need to see what would happen. Or two teams would go up and one team would go down.
It's still unclear.
Yeah.
The other thing that's unclear is that the league is going to look at the schedule. Now, I have a question. Wouldn't it have been intelligent to look at the schedule and the issues before they brought the league back? Wouldn't have that been smart? Instead of saying, yeah, we're going to start looking at it now when they're deep into playing games and teams are bringing, you know, the European-based teams, Israeli teams that are playing in Europe are coming back and forth. I mean, I don't know. Like, wasn't that something that should have been thought of? Like, why wasn't these directors' meetings held a while ago? And who's running these directors' meetings right now?
It's clear that the league came back, just came back, that there wasn't too much thought put into the whole process. And we see it straight on the court. It's just not looking good so far. Around half of the games are far from being normal basketball. And to me, it's sad. Yeah. I usually, you know, watch every game. And recently, it's far from happening. The league is just not enough attractive as an Israeli team playing in Europe, and I'm the first one to be sad about that as someone who likes Israeli basketball.
Yeah, and you look at the Lumit League where they're playing without foreigners, and you know, you're getting some really great games, Moshe. We saw some terrific games this week, overtime games, saw terrific performances by Shachar Doron. You know, it's been extremely competitive. Oh, sure, you're gonna have one bad game here or there, but without the foreigners, it's been a good league so far. I mean, the games have been, if you take the whole product as a whole, it's been a better product.
Yes, definitely. The Lumit is giving a real chance to all of the Israeli players. And obviously, more players are getting a chance in the first division right now. But when it's happening as one team has a normal squad, a different team doesn't have a normal squad, then it just doesn't feel too real. Like, there was that first game of Nes Ziona, Hapoel Haifa, and some players had wild stats, and you know that it's all fake, and it's just not satisfying enough. Recently, there is a bit of an improvement. You know, Galileon, a guy like Miron Ruina, so he is performing. He is showing what he can do when there aren't foreigners. But all in all, the Lumit definitely looks more competitive.
All right, Moshe, any final thoughts? And if not, where can people reach out to you?
So you could reach out to me on MoBlueLion on Twitter.
Of course, me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver to you in both languages. Check us out. Make sure you subscribe to us. Leave us a five-star rating. Do all those great things. This is fun. I want to thank you very much for coming on board and wishing you a Shabbat Shalom from Jerusalem.